Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and I feel very honored and privileged to have a conversation today with a great medium by the name of Bobby Allison. Now, before we go any further, I just want to let you folks know that I'm getting over like a wicked flu. And the last thing that always happens to me is I lose my voice and I feel that I'm losing it. So I will try to keep my talking to a minimum. But in the meantime, you know, we should have a really good show. So you're, you know, definitely call in with questions for Bobby and, you know, just, you know, to find out about, you know, this beautiful art called mediumship. So just a little bit about Bobby. She was last with us back in, I believe, October of 2023. And just some information about her. She's like her mother, grandmother, and three sisters. She was born with enhanced intuitive abilities. And she's, you know, been honoring these abilities by practicing positive meditation and studying spirituality. She's been featured on radio and television, and she's a natural teacher, and she's got a unique ability to relay messages from master guides through automatic writing. She's also really good at remote viewing, enabling her consciousness to be transported to other locations to find missing items, missing people. And she's done this with law enforcement in the past. And she's shared her gifts with many charitable organizations. And her website, by the way, is www.bobbyallison.com, BOBBIALLISON.com. So, again, our show is commercial free, so sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, loved one, have a drink on us, let us stimulate your imaginations for the next hour or so. Oh yeah, again, you know, we're not going to be doing any readings or anything like that. Your questions are welcome, but just keep that in mind, okay? So, we've been, you know, using show questions that you guys have been, you know, calling in or typing in or emailing to the Forever Family Foundation. So it's been a pretty good system like that. It just opens up the topic for, we'll see where it goes. So having said all that, if you want to call in, the number to call is 1-888-627-6008. So with all of that, hey, Bobby, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thank. Hey, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. But like I said, my voice,
I think
I'll make it for the next hour.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, you know what?
I'll be sending you some good juju. Oh,
thank you very much. And it always happens when I get the flu shot, I get the flu. Simple as that. It didn't help that I took my kids to a birthday party a couple of weeks ago that, you know, one of those bouncy bounce places, which is a bacteria, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's one of those things. I'm sure that's
maybe you should think twice about that.
Well, you know, it's funny because my kids didn't get sick, but you know, I got sick. And then my wife got
sick.
Well,
that's because you took the shot, so it makes you a little vulnerable, you know?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm sorry to hear that.
You know what? I feel fine. It's just, it's actually a good sign that the fact that my voice is going away is a good sign. That means I'm at the tail end of this stupid thing, which I've had for a long time.
And wow. I'm not
coughing like crazy anymore. So, yeah. So I'll do my best to keep talking. Just lots of water to lubricate my, you know, my voice or whatever, and we should get through it.
Let's face it, you know that when you get me on the line, you don't really get any words in.
Okay. That's true. That's great.
Yeah, they take over sometimes and they want me to just say things, and you know, and since in life in general I get cut off all the time from people, I think it's like my power hour.
You know, it's funny because I've been doing this for about maybe 3-4 years already, and I've never had, you know, a dull moment. I've never had a lull in the conversation. It's like spirit kind of, in a way, kind of guides us of where this whole thing is going to be going, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really do.
Yeah.
And so
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
So we spoke last time. When was it? Yeah, like I said, back in October. So what have you been up to since October?
Oh my goodness. It's not that such such a long time ago, but lots of going on. I mean, there's new shifts in the energy and so on and so forth. So just getting adjusted to, you know, I'm not so much educated on astrology, but a lot of my friends are. So I listen to the things they say, and I follow some on Instagram. And I think that because when you're a sensitive or intuitive or psychic, you don't realize how our bodies are affected by the different shifts and the planets and the moon and all that. And I think once you start paying attention to it, even in numerology, there's all shifts and everything. When the new year comes and the different planets move and such, like I said before, we get really affected by it. So I think adjusting to the new planetary shifts, I think, was a little rough for me in the past couple of years, meaning that I was taking on a lot so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think now I'm just adjusting. I feel lighter. I feel brighter. I feel more sharp. I feel like the readings have gotten more intense. I think that things are being uncovered for me, like things that maybe stood still in time or remained a mystery. They were supposed to stay that way. And I felt like maybe like things weren't going to change, but there was breakthroughs. And I think that, and for readings as well, for like my clients and people that I mentor and stuff. And, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to have the gift. And at times, you know, I don't think I've ever sat down and said, you know, I wish I didn't have this. I do wish that I could use it in a way. Things have been, I don't know how to say it. Like things have been coming to me about more cold cases and more of that, which I've done, you know, many times before. And I think like there's something brewing in that. In fact, when Forever Family sent out their email, I guess the other day, I just got an email. I'm not going to say any names, but I just received an email today from a gentleman telling me about this missing girl. I'm sure he's listening right now, from this missing girl from his community, and wants to know if I'd like to be part of the case. And I emailed him back. I hope he got it. And I said, absolutely, because that's what I think that I want to use my gift more of. I don't want it to be like, just like, who's going to be my next date or who am I going here? Or, you know, I love to connect people with their loved ones, but that to me as well is part of why I think that I would be honored and humbled to do that type of work more.
That it's almost like a calling. Good for you.
Oh, and yeah, you know, no doubt.
There's a lot of mediums that can, you know, take care of the end of, like, you know, seeing clients and stuff like that. So I love the way you're thinking. You know,
yeah, I do too. And I think spirit pushes me. Yeah. They kind of like present it to me in such a way. As I was talking to a friend of mine, and she introduced me to this gentleman that lives over in Ohio, and he's this really well-established, you know, businessman, so to speak. And he has, I'm hoping he's listening, he has this great ability to be a medium, but yet he also cleanses houses for people that are lost and stuck and imprinted in time, which I definitely am so happy. And I think that this whole shift is presenting this in a whole different way. And I think, you know, it's going down a road that I like. I feel good about it. And I hope that, you know, I think, I don't know what I hope. I'm not going to even put that out there. I think that I just allow that spark to be ignited in me for whatever road I'm supposed to go down next. Because I do know that there's some other things that I'm supposed to bring onto my my ride along that journey.
That's pretty awesome. You know, yeah. I kind of know where you're coming from because, you know, let's say for work, I'm a data analyst for the New York State Comptroller.
Okay.
And, it's a big organization and, you know, we go through a lot of training and stuff and we're always learning new stuff and I'm put on the spot a lot of times to, hey, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And, you know, even if I don't know that much about whatever subject I've been asked to talk about, I feel like I'm being guided to say something and whatever comes out of my mouth, surprisingly, is pretty intelligent, or at least it sounds intelligent. So it's kind of weird, you know?
I love when you say things like that. That's great.
Oh, I'm Mr. Self-deprecating. That's me. I, you know, that's how I am.
Listen, I think that we all play a huge role in each other's lives. And I don't think that a lot of people recognize it as that. They don't understand that we are all weaved together like one big basket and mm-hmm. we all help each other on all different levels. Whether you see somebody in the store or you're talking to someone on the phone, if it's like a company that you're calling or someone that's your neighbor or mm-hmm. what have you, it's like, we're all here to kind of seek out the same thing. It's to give love and to receive love. And that's the grand scheme of it. In the end, that's all you take with you is the love. Right. And I think that people get so wrapped up in the other things, and that really takes your mind away from, you know, mm-hmm. the consciousness of who we are.
I wish I could take guitars with me. I love guitars. I'm a guitar fan.
I saw that when I just signed in and you were sitting there with your camera on. I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I love that.
My basement's full of guitars, but you know what? I'm sure I'll be strumming away in spirit when the time comes.
Yeah, you're probably from the music realm.
There you go.
Lots of harmony, right? Yeah. I just feel like, you know, no matter what, you know, I always tell everybody this, and I probably said it on the show before, everybody has gifts, just not everybody opens the package. Until the time is right, until that gift is at the tippy top, until they've shifted, until the consciousness has gotten to the point mm-hmm. where they can really say, like, I'm worthy and I'm valuable. And now I see that I have this gift that's been presented to me, and it was covered up with all those other emotions that I kept on my shoulders, so to speak, and I didn't allow those things to leave. Some people think that they own the emotions that they go through instead of sending it, surrendering it back to the universe and letting it go to others to do its job. We oftentimes hold on to that, and it causes things inside of us later on, like dis-ease, let's say.
Yeah, it's a burden. It's a burden to hold on to that.
And we carry this because we think that that's all we, what do people use those sayings like, well, this is the cards I was dealt or this, and it's so not that. Mm-hmm. We're like a little spark. And I think like sometimes they will send you anybody to get that message through, you know, the vehicle, the vessel, could be anybody, could be a child, it could be a song, a person to say, look, you're worthy, you're valuable, you are, you know, you're amazing. And find what works for you and stop listening to what other people say around you. Just let the seeds that are planted from the time before you came here, let them grow and open up your heart and receive.
Absolutely. And you know, that goes for a lot of things. I mean, I think a person is very well defined by how they react to what they've been dealt with in terms of the cards. It's not about the cards. It's how you persevere, how you step up to the, you know, to the challenge, or, you know, it's how you make mistakes and how you learn from them. I think that's the best part of, like, you know, making mistakes is supposed to happen.
Yeah. You
know? And that's how you learn.
Well, I think that, and it's funny you said that because I used it with somebody else before. I said, that very sentence about, it's about how you react to someone else's actions. And I think like a lot of us have triggers, and with those triggers, Oh, jeez. Am I still here with you?
You're still here. Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, sorry. I hit a button. I don't know how to shut this thing off if I'll still hear you, but try. Can you still hear me?
I sure can. Okay,
sorry about that.
Not a problem.
Someone was texting my phone and it was loud. So I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. So yeah. So you, that reminded me of what you said is like, we always react, but I think a lot of times what we react based upon our triggers to any situation or drama or trauma from our past. And that sometimes we can find a humbling experience in that if we truly can recognize, oh my goodness, I just reacted and I don't know why. I do it all the time. Like, oh my goodness, that made me really angry. I need to find out where the root of that is.
Mm-hmm. And I've done that many times too, where you overreact to something and you kind of wish you could take it back, but it's already been done. But you can learn for the next time, you know?
Well, it's also, you know, it's people that are put in our path to help us to bring out that very trigger so that we can then recognize it, so we can release whatever emotion that hangs on, so that we don't have to have that deep inside of us. Because when we're little and we go through these, when we're children and we go through these, you know, traumatic situations or maybe a happy situation, there's always an emotion for that. But we can hold on to the memory, but the emotion is alive and breathing. And we should never hold on to the actual living, breathing emotion. It's the memory that will stay with us. The traumas and all of that will get triggered. And then sometimes the triggers are good so that we can figure out why we got it, what it was connected to. So a lot of times in life, what we do is we go through traumatic situations, and instead of pulling that thorn out, we put a Band-Aid over it. So we're here, we are filled with Band-Aids all over us, over these thorns that are in us, still, you know, stabbing us. And I tell people, like, in a meditation, pull off the Band-Aid, pull out the thorn, watch it bleed for a millisecond, just be the observer of it, not to feel it again, and let it go, because it's not serving you any purpose. And I have to remind myself of that, like, daily, because there's been a lot of things going on. My dad passed in September. And
sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry to hear that
your dad passed.
Oh, thank you. And then, you know, a couple of other people, like from school days and so on and so forth. And I think that there's triggers in that too, because, you know, lots of things happen in your childhood, you know, good, bad, and different. And I think like that brings up a whole set of emotions. So especially when I'm reading people, so spirit has me go through the gamut of emotions. People think that there's only like, you know, 10 emotions, let's say, but there's really thousands. There's emotions within emotions. And we experience so much. And I think like sometimes it's just overwhelming if people at their pinnacle moments, like they can either go into that well and drown in emotion, or they can rise above it and use it as a stepping stone to realize that they need to function differently. In order to do that, you have to release things. And I think that's where the reactions come in. It's like, how am I going to react to this? You don't know until it happens.
That is true. And, you know, we all have egos, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely.
The ego.
Well, that's the duality. It's the good and the bad.
Yeah. Yeah. The ego is like, I think it's, you know, we evolved from animals or whatever. I'm not exactly sure how, but we did. And, you know, the ego is part of that fight or flight mechanism when, you know, when we were other creatures. And I think now that, you know, we're capable of thinking and discerning and abstracting, the ego is still there. It's still part of it, but it needs to be quieted down if you're really going to live in the moment and appreciate, you know, life, because it can drive you crazy.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I believe that, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree on that. But yeah, everybody thinks something different, and that's not just my experience, but you know, it doesn't matter where the body comes from, because the soul still comes into the body. And I think that
well, of course, I agree with that. I'm kind of quoting like Eckhart Tolle kind of stuff.
I've been
reading boring. A lot of him and like being in the moment and the present.
Yeah. The power of now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like
I only got through the first page of that book because it was just boring to me. But I do speak of being in the power of now because I believe it's the gift. It's the present. So I believe in that, but I don't know the rest of the book because it's just, it wasn't meant for me to read at the time I was trying to read it, but I never went back to it. I mean, we don't know until we get there, but that's not what spirit tells me. So I have to go with what I feel that they told me is right. Sometimes they tell me things I don't believe to say, but I have to say it because I don't edit their verbiage. You know, I don't do that.
That is like really interesting what you're just, you know, we're approaching a subject that I find very, very interesting, which is, you know, you're getting messages from the other side and it, you know, something that you might get something that's unexpected or something that you might have a hard time sharing with your client. How do you deal with that?
Well, I do tell them in the beginning, I do a 30-second speech and I do explain to them that this is what, it's not made of me. It's what comes through me. I do not edit anything. And that's why when there's people sitting in a group or two people, I always tell them, if there's anything that you don't want the person to know that you're in the room with, then you need to send them out or you have to tell me to stop because I will not stop spirit's speech when you're in a private reading. If we're in an arena of 700 people, that's different. I won't do that. But when it's in a private reading, they don't care. They will say anything. There are things sometimes I do not want to say. And I will tell them, this is really hard for me to say because this is not something that Bobby would say. So I'm just telling you that. Yeah. And I tell them that because it's like a struggle in my mind. Sometimes there's a tug of war of like, I'm not going to say that. And they're like, yes, you are. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And they will tell that to me for a good 3 or 4 minutes until I break down and say, okay, I want to tell you this, but I don't think it's appropriate to say this now, but your blah, 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 whoever is saying it is telling me that I must say it. And spirit always wins. They are the ones with the voice. And then it works out to, they know exactly what it's about. They know exactly why the person said it. If I didn't say it, they probably wouldn't have believed it was the person. So it's usually something about their passing, something they did before the passing, or some, even if it's like, you know, I do read the person that maybe abused somebody in every way. And that to me is like, I don't like those readings.
Right.
Being a person that was abused, I don't like to read that, but I know it's healing for people. And I have to say, like, he took advantage of blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes it lets the validation of the person that's on the other end of the line. They say, oh, my goodness, like this person told me that, but I didn't believe it. So it settles some things for some people. And then then it's also things like someone got murdered or somebody was involved in something that their family didn't know. So there's so many different things. I have to say it. I can't not, because then I wouldn't be authentic. It would not be authentic.
Right.
It would not be evidential information. And I feel like the truth is the truth, whether somebody that's listening to it doesn't want to hear it. And that's that, myself included. I'm sure there are some things in readings I don't want to hear, or maybe I just don't want to talk about it. You know, so that they have every right to say to me, look, I understand what you're going, where you're going, and I'd rather just skip that. And I certainly will.
And you know
what?
I don't
push anybody to hear anything.
Like, I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes. You're getting some messages, and if, you know, might be stuff you might not want to share, but you end up sharing it anyways. But I think that if you start editing your messages, I think that's going to have a negative effect on your ability to receive the messages after a while. I mean, that would be my fear. You know, if you're, it's kind of like abusing your gift. You know, you're getting this gift of being able to communicate these messages accurately. And if you start being the judge and jury of what gets said to your client, that might negatively affect your relationship with spirit, don't you think?
Exactly. And there are people that interject their own feelings, because there are some people that can have the abilities, but they should not be reading people. Because some of these readings I hear, my clients will go to like wherever, and I just apologize to them. I said, because that's not how you're supposed to read. That these people weren't trained right, or maybe they just, you know, put their own opinions in it. I mean, I went to a psychic one time, medium, whatever, And all she did was bash men the whole time. Like, she did not talk about any other thing but the person I was with at the time. She just bashed him, bashed all the men she was with. And I was just like, I was sitting there so bizarre. I was like, this is bizarre. Yeah. And I couldn't stop her because she was going on and on and on. So it depends on the person. That's why I tell people, don't go see a psychic or a medium or a tarot reader unless there's word of mouth, unless they are certified in some way, unless they've been around for umpteen years. So this way, you know that they have a following, because there's so many people out there that are those in quote charlatans, of course, and they just want to take from people. And that's silly.
And they give the rest of the guys a bad name, unfortunately, you know?
It really does. I know. And sometimes I see comments written like on my friend's stuff that are on, that have TV shows or whatever. And it just makes me so sad, because I know that they aren't those people, but there's some people that just don't have it in their mind at any time to even think about that someone's psychic or intuitive. And I think the word scares them. And the biggest people that get scared of it are the ones that have something to hide. Because there are people that don't want you near them, or they, if they know that I have a gift or whatever, they might have something to hide from their spouse, or maybe something they did in life, and they don't want somebody in their space. But being ethical, I don't open up my energy to read anybody unless they want it. Sometimes there'll be like a grandparent or a spouse will be pushing at me to give love, but I'm not going to go reading somebody's, you know, deep dark secrets. That's something that comes up, then of course, in the reading that someone has now hired me for, then I'm going to tell them everything that spirit wants me to tell them. I don't hold back.
And you know what? That's probably I think that's a good philosophy, you know?
Yeah. You have to. It's what they're paying you for. The only thing I will not go into, and I tell them this in my speech, I do not, and I will not tune into up and coming death. And I can't tell you, there's got to be at least, I don't know, 5 people a year that beg me. And I said, no, why would I open that for you? Then it has to be open for everybody. And that's not for me to know. That's between that person and God, or whoever they believe their God is. And that's that. And they really want to know. Well, some people are waiting for people to die so they can collect their money. Some people can't stand somebody and they're like, ugh. And I'm like, they have the nerve to say that to me. And I'm just like, oh boy, like, no, I don't do that. And I won't.
Those are the kind of people that really don't respect mediumship.
No, not at all. Mm. And they like beg you, like, please, I just need to know. And I'm like, no, some people are waiting for people to pass for whatever reason. Maybe they're a burden, or maybe they don't have any emotions, or maybe they, whatever. I don't even know all the reasons, but it's just like, no, I don't tune into that. And I think that's another, like, number one or two reason why people don't get readings, because they think that every medium and every psychic is going to pass that information to them about their loved ones, but not this chick.
No, I agree with you 100%. If somebody asks you like that in the future, say, yeah, and you know what? I'll give you the lottery numbers too at the same time.
Oh my God, do you know how many people ask me for that?
I
used to have this guy who he was a client who became a friend. And he only befriended me because I found out later on, I knew psychically, I guess later on what I saw through his facade, is he would go to the casinos and he would call me on the way there. And he'd be like, come on, just tell me the numbers. Just tell me the machine. Just tell me this. And I'm like, you're crazy. This is not what this is for. And if I could do that, I would be there myself. But that's not what it's for. And money, the money frequency. So like, go out and get a job.
Exactly.
It was incessant and it was just annoying.
Oh,
and
I
think just to prove to him that spirit was real and his whomever was coming through, I gave him one of the machines that was going to hit, not for a lot of money. And he actually made like $2,000 in like 5 minutes. And then he's like not letting me off the phone and stuff. And I was like, nope, that's the one and only time you used it. And then we didn't speak after that because he just wanted that information.
Oh boy.
People are crazy.
With friends like that, you don't need enemies, right?
Oh, that wasn't definitely not a friend, believe me.
Yeah, absolutely.
He pretended to because he was so, I guess, into the gambling and addicted. And I think he just pretended that he was something he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's gambling. It's such an addiction. It really is. I personally hate casinos. The only time I go to a casino is when I play at them with my band. But
yeah,
I will not.
Tell people, you know, you're going to the casino is just to make a deposit, because you're certainly ain't coming out with a withdrawal.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they wouldn't have these beautiful buildings if they were losing money, right?
Yeah. And comping everybody and, you know, mm-hmm. the cheap meals and all this stuff. I'm like, do you think they get the money? Yeah, it's just the whole scam thing, but whatever.
It is. With that. Absolutely. But you know what? It's people, you know, if you can go in there with, you know, $50 and spend the night, you know, on whatever, one-armed bandits or do whatever you want. And at the end of the night, you come back with nothing. Well, you know, $50 isn't that bad.
That's
you know,
right.
To be entertained, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, if you're going to see a show, or if you're going to go just hang out with, like, a party, like, your friends or whatever, and then you're going to around town, then it's different. But if you're just going there just to gamble, like, I work hard for my money. Energy is hard work.
And, you know,
carrying around people's sadness all day is hard work. So I'm not going to go deposit anything.
You see these souls that are just sitting there, you know, like these old ladies smoking cigarettes, just
you know,
dumping their money, and that's it, you know.
Anyway. And then I have this one friend who I won't name her name, but she goes to the casino out on Long Island, and she's hitting like every time she goes. So she's got like that luck streak. She really brings home lots of money sometimes. Yeah,
give me her number. let me give you a couple of questions that some of our listeners have they've emailed in. One of them is pretty fascinating. When a medium dies, do they have an easier time communicating with those in the physical world? Do you think? Because you know, what do you think?
I would think yes, but I'm trying to think. I had like maybe a few people. I don't know. I'm going to say I'm stumped on that one. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a different.
I would think depending on how they passed,
have you ever called up a medium in your reading as a medium ever? I'm sure thousands of readings you've done.
I think actually I just got off the phone with my friend. And she had a medium that was a really good friend of hers. And I'm not sure. I think she might have came through lightly. But I don't think that, okay, this is how I'll put it. I don't think that it really matters who comes through from the other side. I think they are the great communicators. I think it's the people that are here that have to get through all their sadness and all their emotions. So I think it's really about the receiving end of it, how they are. It's not really spirit. They can say anything. They can be, they're awake 24/7. They can manipulate anything, you know, for good. And I don't think it's them. So it's really us.
Right.
If they can understand, if you can understand that.
Yeah.
It's not like the
focus is on the sitter, basically.
Right. It's not about it doesn't matter if it's a medium, if it's a child, if it's an elderly person, when they go back to the original form of the energy, they don't have the problem communicating. It's the people have on the receiving end. That's how I want to say it. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I can see exactly what you mean. And I agree with your point of view. I think it's more about the sitter and whoever is whoever on the other side. It could be a medium, could be a pilot, could be the president. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what they were in life right now. I think pretty much everyone's equal once you transition. You're back in, you know, you're kind of
well, like back. I beg to differ. Everybody is equal here, but people will never admit that. That's where the ego comes in. People think they're less than, or people think they're more than when that ego takes hold. So that's what I say. Nobody walks in front of me. Nobody walks behind me, but we all walk together in unity. And people have a problem with that. a lot of people. Ego is erasing God out or edging God out or whatever you want to call your God or, you know, whatever the word should be, the universe, God, guides. And I think that when people really can see, just because somebody may be a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire, or somebody's on the street, I think that they don't, you have to see the soul is the same. We all are from the same energy. And when you see that and promote that in your heart, that we are all come from the same place, we all bleed the same color. We all, you know, people don't understand. They just think like if they came from wealth or if they came from, you know, the streets or what have you. Yeah. It's about the journey.
Yeah.
It's not really about anything else. So that's how I feel about it.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, on the other side, I mean, we kind of go back home. Like, I envision that, you know, once we're on the other side, doesn't matter who you were on this side, you were here to learn. And there's different experiences. And I think that, you know, like, for example, somebody that's really handicapped, like a quadriplegic that can only communicate by blinking their eyelids, you know, has a very, very tough life. But I think those people that, you know, that are like that with faced with like these humongous challenges, I think are like old souls that, you know, they're there to teach other people how to love and be patient and stuff like that.
They're the they're the highest souls, they say, but does not make them better than anybody else.
No, it doesn't.
They're just on a different level, but we all come from the same place of love, and it's one. It's like this. There's a lake or a pond, and there's a tree in the middle of the lake or pond, and it's raining out, and we have all these droplets of rain that are landing on the leaves. And then as it starts to dry up, the raindrops start to fall in this pond. Could you ever tell them individually again? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not until, you know, what is it called? Humidity or whatever goes back into the clouds and it rains again. So it's kind of like that. It doesn't matter if you're past, if you're on a level, let's say 10, and somebody else comes in on a level 3, just as they cross over to kind of go to their room of reflection and see where they want to put themselves. Are they coming back into a life? Are they going to stay there? Are they going to teach other souls? Like, but it's really all one and the same. So it is the same as them on the other side and people here. We're all the same. And that's what people don't understand. We're just all helping one another, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Somebody has to be on that stage to be the player, to be the character, to be the villain, to be the angel. It's all the same because we have come from the same energy, and that's love.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Absolutely. And believe me, sister, we are coming into some trying times with the way that the world's going, and, you know, if you look at politics, you look at the global warming, you just, you know, like the dichotomy of poverty and wealth. I mean, I think it's being, you know, the middle class, I think, is fading away, you know, and I think it's just the shift. There's, like you were saying earlier, there is a shift happening.
But, you know, it's also about the duality. It's about good and bad. And it's also what we all came in with to experience. And I think that if more people could really get their minds in more of an awareness to think higher, to get into that, let's say, fifth dimension stuff, we started on the third, all that stuff happened for many, 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 many years with the politics and with all of that stuff. So when people start to think one way and get programmed to believe this, this, and this, and don't have that expansion of their mind in play, because maybe some people don't even know what that is. But when you start to do meditation and you start to raise your vibration and go through ascension, it just means that you're expanding your mind. You're expanding your awareness. You're not in this body, this vehicle, to say, I can only think this much because my brain is only this big. It's about expanding that through the breath and through meditation. So you meditate to elevate.
Meditate to elevate. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, because it's
elevate.
Because okay, so you get up every day and you want to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You feed the physical to keep it alive, but mm-hmm. in order to expand your horizons or your awareness and your consciousness, you have to feed your soul. So becoming one with yourself, as in doing the meditation, whether you're, there's so many different types of meditation. You could do the one where you sit outside in the sun and quiet your mind and chase everything away. There's ones that are called walking meditations. I spent a weekend with the Tibetan monks, and this is what they did. They had meditation that lasted 9 hours. I was like, wait a second. That's Whoa. A little too much for me. So I'll stay in for a couple of hours, but then I got to go. And that's what I did. So I went and I watched movies about, because you're not allowed to watch TV when you're there. You're only allowed to watch anything about Buddhists and so on. And they're vegetarians and you could learn the story of them. But the meditation time, whether it was like them gonging the gongs or whatever they were doing, or mm-hmm. doing the walking meditation, which was kind of weird. But they had this really famous guy come in and they was teaching we went in the temple and they were teaching us all the different types of meditation, which I thought were really kind of cool. And so when you experience that type of meditation to that level, it teaches you to connect with your higher self. And what that means is just being in awareness that you have something that's higher than you. And then it keeps going higher. There's like a future self, a higher self. And then you have, you know, if you believe in angels and guides, there's all different things. And I think we're all made to believe in different things of how we grew up. But that's, I mean, I have a problem with that sometimes because I believe our parents didn't know better. So than their parents. And I believe that the programming has really been kind of, what's the word I want to use without offending?
Shifting.
Warded. Changed. I think that years back, hundreds of years ago, I think that there was fear that was instilled in people to believe certain things. And mm-hmm. if you don't believe this, this will happen. If you don't believe that. So I think now people are starting to come out of that. I see like really? With my daughter's generation, they all don't believe in the same things that we did because they're like, I'm not going to believe in that. And I find it true with my stepchildren, my nieces and nephews, everybody's talking about different things and I'm just so weirded out by it, but
yeah.
it's all the same because we're all supposed to have all these different experiences. And that's what it's like. They're shaking us up to wake us up. It's like, okay, stop thinking in the box. You have to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. You have to bring what's golden out of you. You have to exude that light out instead of covering it up with all those boxes.
And you
we're
know
not
what?
Kept in those boxes.
And you know what? You know, when you think of purely the physical world, okay, it is so vast and immense, and we have no control over it, really, as individuals. What we do have control over and what we can expand and we can go, you know, we can take it as far as we want to is the consciousness and the meditation and, you know, just the self-reflection, knowing that you're part of something bigger. And, you know, that whole aspect of it, the non-physical, is so much bigger than the physical. And when you think of the physical, like the, you know, the expanding universe and, you know, like we don't know, we don't have the science to prove exactly what the universe is all about. You know, they got the Big Bang theory and this and that, and the fact that it's expanding and things travel at the speed of light and nothing can go faster. But anyways, there's, you know, all of that can just be a drop of water on a blade of grass in a bigger universe. Who knows? You know, we don't have the tools to measure that. So where we can expand is this whole thing with consciousness and meditation and, you know, so the soul and who we really are, you know,
mm-hmm.
and learning more about that. I think, it's fascinating, but a lot of people, you know, like you said earlier, you know, there wasn't a lot of communication about it. It's this whole medium thing is relatively new. And, you know, people feared it before. And now with social media and everything, people are communicating better and we're kind of learning off of each other. And I think it's a good thing.
The funny thing is when I first started to channel things like this. I was deathly afraid of this when I was younger because something used to chase me. I didn't know what it was, but I had severe panic attacks, and I would flee any place. I would get these heart palpitations. I couldn't function in life when I was younger, but I never knew what it was until, but I was always psychic. So I always knew things, but I always thought everybody was the same. So when I started going through life and starting to learn more about like my mom was all into the psychic stuff and that used to scare the heck out of me. And then as I got older and I started to like figure things out when I got into like junior high and high school and started to say, why is this happening to me? Every time I go to certain places, I would feel these feelings. And I think like when your vibration is stunted by trauma and drama, and it's not able to naturally expand, like organically expand and accept the higher frequencies, because we have that fear and we're holding on to whatever trauma we're in. It doesn't allow us to expand. I think that's a big part of why people fall into the well and why, like you said, like, you know, how do we feed into that consciousness and not stay there with that ego? It's just, you have to build upon it. You have to try to figure things out in such a way that it feels right for you, because what feels right for someone else may not be your thing. But the meditation, like people go to me, I don't know how to meditate. And I said, well, you stop breathing first. The breathing is really where you should do your meditation first. Just do the breathing exercises so that it helps you to get more oxygen in, helps you to calm down, and then you can go into the meditation. Some people just are so blocked.
Yeah.
And I think once they get to that place where they're feeding their soul and they're doing the meditation, it becomes addictive because it's breath. It's breath work. It's connecting to that innate place inside of you. And that's when they start to exude their light out. So people are always searching, walking around, looking for where am I from, looking for that spirituality, but they are it already. So what's that saying? They say that we are physical beings, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, not the other way around. So some people are searching for, I don't know, metaphysical, searching for this, search that, but they already are that.
Yep. And consciousness dictates reality, not the other way around.
Correct.
It's really because it's your perception, your personal perception of the world around you. And how you interpret that is, you know, is a product of your upbringing, education, willingness to learn.
Yeah, you built the program. See? Yes, it's true. Yep.
Absolutely.
And that's why manifesting is so important, because whether you think you're manifesting something or not, you are, because your subconscious mind never sleeps. So during the time that you're sleeping and your soul's going wherever, it's manifesting the things that you're going to experience for your tomorrows. But why not be the captain of your own ship and start to manifest it? Just feel it, know it, live it, breathe it, seek it, and I am it, saying, this is what I want moving forward. But then you go to somebody's value, what they think they are, what their value and their worth is. They don't love themselves, and that prevents them from thinking that they can achieve or have the things that other people have. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have somebody that keeps, this was me for a long time, living in lack. Thinking, well, I can't get that. Well, I'm never going to have this. Well, my cards weren't dealt that way. But then when you change your mindset, you change your words, your self-talk, your self-love, look in that mirror every day and say, I love you. Your vibe is your tribe. And then when you start to get people around you that are not toxic and viral, you weed your spiritual garden, you set the land the way you want it, the journey. And you manifest what it is that you want to experience. You bring the money to you if that's what you so choose. You bring the house, the car, the family, whatever it is. Because this is really just, they say, an illusion. It's like Total Recall. You put the mask on, you go in, and you play your game, right?
Yep. It's kind of like the Matrix, you know, where you're plugged into this machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think everybody's experiences are different. And, you know, you do what you can do with what you have, and you try to learn. We're here to learn, you know?
Yeah. And I think that everybody, what I was trying to say before was, before there was like this whole big thing with psychics and mediums, you know, before there was speech, there was mental telepathy. So that third eye closed up when they started to do, you know, the caveman, they started to grunt, then there was language and speech and all that.
Yeah.
So that closed. That's what they told me. So the third eye closed up because that muscle wasn't being used. So then all these years later, with all these mediums and psychics, and we're doing meditation and open up. I cannot tell you the pain that I went through for a good 3 years of my forehead, severe pain and headaches that I couldn't lift my head off the pillow, that I had to call the healer and go, you need to help me. So wow. It was such a rapid thing because it was so closed up from all the trauma and drama and not able to expand. And once it did, forget it. Then it was like even more psychic, even more. And it was just like, oh my goodness. And it wasn't like I was a wannabe. It was like, right. I want to feel better. Right. I want to stop having panic attacks. I want to stop living in that hell that I felt like I was living. And I didn't know why my ears were ringing. I had vertigo all the time. I would run out of school. I would run out of malls. I would run out of restaurants because I couldn't handle the energy and I didn't know what it was. And then I end up like this and I feel great.
Yeah. I mean, I guess things started turning around for you once you started accepting
1999. But I had all my childhood was hell because it was like, nobody could tell me why I was feeling this way. I was at so many doctors. They were doing these ear things. They were flushing my ears out. Why are you getting dizzy? Why are you panicking? I mean, I missed so much school. So if my advice to people would be, if they feel like, you know, everybody, we're all channeling something. So you have to keep that in mind. It may not be spirit.
We're all mediums to a certain extent.
Right. In some way, music. Some people channel music like yourself. Yeah. And medium, you know, it's everybody's channeling something because you're connected to that other side, that energy, that force. And when that silver cord is connected from the gut area to the other side, we're always channeling and pulling out things.
Right.
I think teachers and medical people, they're like natural healers because they just know exactly what to say. You hear people say like, oh, I didn't know where the words came from. I have no idea how I even knew that.
Or telling you before about like my experience with work sometimes, you know, like I never panic when I have to present something that I don't know because I know that it's going to come out. You know, if I won't dazzle them with my brilliance, I'll baffle them with my bullshit.
I love that.
But it just happens. And it's something that I realized that. Yeah,
that's don't stop it. Just allow it because when you start to create those, like you can call in the specialist from the other side that did it before you and they will just plug in and go away with it. Like I do this right now before I do radio or TV or whatever. I always ask them to come in to give me the right words because Bobby gets freaked out sometimes, like when I'm on stage. I'm not anymore, but I used to be a lot. Right. But now I'm like, oh my goodness, they don't shut up.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, for me, playing guitar is a form of meditation for me.
Absolutely,
I will sit there and I'll stop thinking. It's all about, you know, just letting whatever happens happen, and don't let your, you know, it's shut your ego up, you know.
Yeah, it's because it's a form of not only of meditation, but there's an actual whole dimension of just music and harmony, which is what we are.
Yeah.
But I just learned recently, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I feel compelled to say it. So music, you know, like the birds we hear is like music in the morning, you know, you're trying to sleep and the birds are like, they're going into song like 4, 5, and 6 a.m. Well, I just saw something recently that the reason why the birds start to sing so early in the morning is to play is music for the plants. The leaves come alive, the roots open up, and they get the flower and the roots of the and leaves to open up to accept the sunlight. And I thought that was so amazing. I was like, wow.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And they also said that they put these like electrodes on plants and flowers, and they have this buzzing and this humming. They have their own harmony, and they play it back for people. It is the coolest. Like, I never knew any of this. I was just like, wow.
Wow, that's incredible.
Everything has its own, has its own frequency, and frequency has a sound.
Yeah, it's true. It's all about vibration.
Yep.
Music is a form of it. Bobby, the hour just flew by. Holy shit.
I mean, know, it always does with us.
Pardon my French. But I really, like, this went by so quickly. Unbelievable. I mean, we didn't have callers, but you see, we just, like, we're like two best friends, just, you know?
Yeah. Anytime. I love it.
Love having you on the show. It's amazing.
I love being on. You're the best. I hope you feel better. I'll be sending you some prayers.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel better. It's going to take a couple of weeks. And I mean, I do feel fine. It's just my voice. That's it. It's the last thing. But listen, I'm going to remind people about you and what you do. Just give it a little plug. So BobbyAllison.com, if they want to get a hold of you for readings and stuff like that, right?
Got some special things coming up. Some cold case stuff. So
cool. That's going to
stuff. So keep watching my website and sign up for my newsletter thingy there, and it'll be good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Social media also. I'm all over social media, sharing love and, you know, inspiring things. So if anybody wants that, they can find me on social media.
Absolutely, Bobby. I love the way you think. I love the way you communicate, and it was such a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Same to you. God bless. Have a good day.
Night. All right, good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.